Thank you for watching, everyone. This podcast is a co-production between EdisSonEnfant.com and La Fondation Jeune en Tête. I am with psychoeducator Myrna Antoun, and we are talking about violence in a relationship and the difference between conflict and violence. Myrna, what can you tell us about that?
Okay, so a conflict is a natural part of a relationship, okay? It arises when we have differences in opinions, in needs, in desires. It's important to keep in mind that not all conflicts are harmful or negative. In fact, healthy conflicts can lead to growth, to understanding, to strengthening the relationship. What we see in a conflict are differences of opinions. There's a lot of emotions, sadness, frustration, anger, okay? But a healthy conflict is focused on finding a solution, on resolving the issue at hand, okay? There's communication, there's compromise, and there's mutual respect, even in the heat of the moment where our emotions are all over the place, okay? However, when we talk about violence, here there's a use of force, there's a power control, that you want to exert your power over the other person, all right? It's an abusive behavior and it's not acceptable, not justifiable. There's an intentional harm. There's a power imbalance. There's unequal power dynamics with one person exerting control over the other one. There's lack of consent. Violence involves actions that disregard the other person's consent, boundaries, autonomy. There's often an escalation of harm, okay? It's crucial to help our teens distinguish between violence and conflicts. We want to equip our teens to deal with conflict and to be able to resolve conflict, but we never want to equip our teen to deal with violence. We want them to be able to differentiate between the two. Sometimes we provide tools for managing violence. We don't want anybody to be good at managing violence.
No way. No.
We want them to be able to see it so that they can leave that situation. They can protect themselves and leave. Okay? With conflict, we want them to manage and resolve them. We don't want to interfere. With violence, we do interfere. The answer is always no to violence.
Do you have a few tools for us to get to the resolution of a conflict?
We need to be able to listen to the other person. Truly listen and not be listening and trying to already prepare my answer to them. I'm listening. I'm not interrupting them. I want my team to be able to be empathetic, to be able to put themselves in the other person's shoe. To be able to express their own thoughts, their own feelings, to affirm themselves in that situation, to compromise. We can't always have it our way. To be able to compromise and also to stay respectful in the midst of the heat of it all, okay?
Let's go into violence, Myrna. Let's say that I see my child, I see their relationship, I see there's something there, there's a scent of violence. What should I be doing? Because you said we needed to intervene.
Yes. So in various types of violence, and I just need to say it's uncommon for the aggressor to resort to physical violence to gain control over the other person. Physical aggression is seen as the ultimate measure, all right? Instead,
they
may resort
to... They don't need to go
there. No, and they often don't go there. Mm. It's rare that they go there. They may resort to tactics as belittling, isolating the other one. And afterwards, they present themselves as their saviors. They're the only one who understands them. And this is enough to maintain them in that cycle of power without escalating and resorting to violence. So if you come to realize that your teen is in a violent relationship, it is essential to prioritize their safety and well-being. And as hard as it is, it's important to stay calm. to stay calm and supportive when discussing the situation with your teen. So I need parents to know if it's not possible for you because it brings out all kinds of emotions, yeah, then find somebody with who it is possible. Because if it does that to you and you still go into that conversation, you will not like the outcome. You will not. And you will not get the results that you're looking for. There's going to be a wall that's going to come up and there's not going to be a place for discussion or to even like get to a solution. Okay. So to stay calm, validate their experience. It's crucial. We often skip that part. We need to validate their situation without blaming or shaming them. Okay. Because that can further bring them into isolate themselves and hinder their willingness to seek help. We want to ensure their immediate safety if need be. Take immediate action to ensure their protection if necessarily. Involve the authorities. Seek professional help if needed. Offer empathy, understanding, emotional support throughout the whole process. It's going to take time. Okay. And I need parents to also know that they can educate themselves on domestic violence. The more they will know, the more they will be able to support their teen, okay? This whole process really needs to be done in a supportive approach. If you're confrontational, if you are emotionally wired, don't do it. If they don't want to talk to you, well, here or Tenjen, here is SOS Violence Conjugale, here is violence.ca. You don't want to talk to me.
Fine.
This is fine. This is who you can reach. And you'd be surprised as to how many teens actually use these resources.
Let's say our teenager is in a domestic violence situation. What would be the impacts of that situation on his mental health if it lasts, per se?
Well, the impact of violence can vary depending on the situation and on the support available, okay? It doesn't necessarily mean that they will be permanently affected. It's possible for someone to grow and learn from these experiences and eventually get clarity on what constitutes a healthy relationship. However, we also know that the impact of violence can be significant. Anxiety, depression, low self-esteem, difficulty in relationships, behavior problems, academic difficulties, substance abuse, self-harm. But like I said, it's not necessarily a life sentence.
How important is it for us as parents who happen to be in a relationship to be good models for our child in terms of, you know, them being eventually in a good relationship?
That is the base.
Uh-oh.
And it is the base. So our kids, our teens, they see us. They so see us. They observe us. And especially in adolescence, they see all the little incoherences, right? So they learn so much more by what they see us do than by what we tell them to do. So we have to embody what it is that we are asking them to do. That is what role modeling is, truly.
Mirna, thank you so much. This has been very, very insightful. In the next segment, we will talk about breakups. You know, those first heartaches, those are hard times to go through. Keep watching.
Yes.